It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Well, here I am. I'm alive. After living virtually 2 days on the floor of my bathroom in a hotel, that's a fun way to spend 48 hours. Let me tell you, and I won't go any farther than that, you know, but my big thanks to Blake Taylor and Clint Olivier for holding down the fort in my absence. It's never easy when you're just called in here to jump in for 3 hours, and you don't do that every day. I mean, it takes a very special talent. I've been doing it forever, so it's like natural for me, but these guys, I mean, it's a very different twist for them, and I thank them much. But this was a bad bug. Anyway, where are we today? For those of you who have been following my new home saga, let me just tell you this. It should be ready in about a week, and I can finally move back in for the third or fourth time, I think. And moving back in means moving everything back from the garage into the house. And I swear to God, it's like I've moved four times since Christmas. And, I mean, this is wearing on me. I'm an old dude, man. I'm in my 70s. I don't need this crap. I feel like having this massive party, you know, and cooking for everybody who wants to show up and move me back into my home. I just put the call out on the radio. Here's where I live. I don't care who knows. Show up at this time. Move all my crap back into the house. Unpack me again, and I'll cook dinner for everybody. Yeah. And so the whole thing with the Silicon Valley Bank going down and other banks beginning to, you know, tittle and fall apart, like one in New York, pension funds have reported millions in losses because of this particular bank. And the more we look at how this bank was managed and who was on the board of this bank, and you've heard this by now, there was practically nobody involved in banking with this bank except for one person. And their experience was, I mean, somewhat limited from what I understand. I mean, the last thing this country needs right now, with everything else that's going on, coming out of a pandemic, you know, and having the weakest presidential leadership maybe in our history at a time when war could be imminent, all we need is a banking crisis, right, kids? I mean, we don't have enough energy to go around as it is. We've handled that once, but our current leader put the foot on the throat of that again, you know, and again, because I say again, because I talk about it all the time, and I always say this all the time, domestic water supply, domestic food supply, domestic energy, border control, gotta have it at the worst of times. These are the worst of times. I think as an adult human being in the USA, I've never seen it worse. I swear to God, I'm sure you feel the same. But, I mean, we just need to put our heads together and pray, drop our petty grievances with one another and move on. The Biden administration promised the press that they would come clean about all of this noise coming out of China and coming out of the press about the Bidens, many Bidens receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars from Chinese Communist Party, you know, associates and the like. That's such a and he stonewalled the whole thing, stonewalled the whole damn thing at a press conference where he was supposedly going to come clean. And the press is so mad after giving this guy cover for 2 years. I mean, that's a far cry from the transparency and the openness that Joe Biden promised to restore upon taking office. But he stonewalled everything. He stonewalled Congress and the press at every single front. Now, the new Congress has followed through with their pledge to investigate a wide range of Biden administration actions from the previous 2 years. And he ain't cooperating. And he made an oath to the press recently, very recently, that he would have a press conference to talk about these mysterious Biden family members, including himself. Who the hell is Hallie Biden, by the way? I mean, I know, but typically she's not a well-known Biden. But all of these Bidens on the receiving end of money from China, he didn't answer one question about it. I mean, leaving the press in a real quandary, really upset with the situation because, like I said, you know, they're giving this guy cover for 2 years. So, you know, he may not make it out of this term, not because of his age and his senility, but because of things he may have done. He may be forced out. To further complicate this for the president, his son, Hunter Biden, has finally admitted family deals with China after years of denial. He admitted it. I'm going to tell you this story shortly. And then he justified it, of course, but he admitted it after saying, no, 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 no. This never happened for years, right? Yeah, story's coming at you shortly. Now, for those of you who follow politics and you got your ear to the ground all the time, why are we hearing that COVID-19 could be Governor DeSantis' secret weapon against Trump in 2024. It's kind of easy to connect the dots on this one. DeSantis, the way that he wrote out the pandemic response, could ride him to the 2024 nomination over President Trump if voters still have COVID-19 on their minds. And that's going to be kind of a stretch in 2024. But his approach to the virus and the reluctance to lock down the beaches, the businesses, the economy in Florida, that helped propel him to national prominence. It showed it was the right thing to do. And Trump, by contrast, deferred everything to Dr. Fauci in the face of the pandemic. Who knows? I may have done that too, being in that situation, and followed most of his recommendations, even though Dr. Fauci's probably turned out to be kind of a phony. Fauci a phony. And Trump, even near the end of all this, was pretty ticked off over the economic restrictions as the years went on with what Fauci was espousing. And, you know, I mean, COVID-19, though, is, again, it's going to be a stretch if you, the voters, are thinking about that in 2024. And the venting of Ron DeSantis has certainly begun, though, sticking with him for a moment. You know, his claims that he's made about the war in Ukraine earlier this week have really sharply divided opinion amongst Republicans, with the pundits digging through every single word to try and figure out what in the hell he was trying to tell us. And I'll tell you what he said shortly. I can't say that I agree with it. I get it, but I don't agree with what he said. But I still think he'd be a very good president. Now, in one of the wildest stories I think I've had in current events, 1 in 5 U.S. citizens support a national divorce. What the hell is that? 66 million people, 20% of the country, believe in a national divorce. They think it's a good idea. Now, what do we mean? A national divorce from what? Marriage? From each other? From one political party to the other? From your bills? From, God forbid, from the country? The latest poll shows that more Republicans do indeed favor a national divorce over the independents and Democrats. Stay tuned. I'll explain this one shortly. You're probably going to be scratching your head. I think it's kind of a heartbreaker. Getting back to Ukraine, the difference between Trump and DeSantis. Trump is now calling for peace, of course, ending what he calls a neocon establishment. Peace without delay. Ending the entire globalist neocon establishment. Huh? I've got to explain that one after dangling that one out there. And I'll tell you about it shortly. And this being a Friday, why not a story about a major star who has ozone pumped up her butt for health reasons? Hey, blame the producer, not me. Yet, you know, rectal therapy is the practice of inserting medical-grade ozone directly into your colon. What is that supposed to do, and who's doing that? I mean, there's one star that comes to mind immediately. Would it be Gwyneth Paltrow? It would. Is it her? It is. Where do people get these ideas? And the vice presidency, Kamala Harris, struggled to explain to Stephen Colbert, Late Show, what her responsibilities are as vice president. Now, the vice president doesn't mean a lot, excuse me, in the day-to-day duties of the president. Hold on. There, much better. I've got a tennis shoe in my throat. But when you've got an octogenarian president who's kind of like on the borderline of senility, I mean, she damn well should know exactly what her responsibilities are. She couldn't explain one of them on late night TV. We got audio. And it's embarrassing. It'll make you nervous. And Katie, bar the door, and that's all I got to say. Phone numbers, 490-5858, 800-776-5858. The Bidens, the money, the admission from Hunter Biden, it's all coming up after this. On News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ. You know me. I love my job. I love being here. It's better than being on a bathroom floor in a hotel. So thank God for you guys allowing me to do this. And I'm going to do it now. Be right back.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
Well, all hell is beginning to bust loose for the President of the United States about what we've always known and thought to be true, that a lot of money has been acquired by the Biden family via the Chinese government. And the Chinese government's not our best friend right now. It's like they're trying to buy influence over here every way, shape, or form they can. From the presidency on down to buying farmland near military bases, right? And when it comes to a lot of things the Biden administration has done in the last couple of years, in terms of administrating things, the new Congress has followed through with their pledge to investigate a wide range of Biden administration actions. And however, the officials in the administration have stonewalled the whole thing. They have refused illegally On virtually every front. It's a far cry, like I said earlier, from the transparency and the openness that President Joe Biden promised upon taking office. So instead, the GOP lawmakers are increasingly likely prospect of, you know, a protracted fight, if I can call it that, to get the basic answers. You know, more than a half dozen House committees have sent dozens of requests to agencies straight across every line of the federal government since January, probing everything from Hunter Biden's business dealings, and we got something on that as well, to an expedited push for COVID-19 booster approval. Even several Democratic-controlled Senate committees have pushed the Biden administration for a lot of information, and in some cases have expressed a lot of frustration with the result. These are Democratic committees out in the Senate. So officials to date have met all of the letters with silence. In other cases, you know, most of them. In other cases, they've offered only a perfunctory response without addressing the substance of the request. I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but to give you some insight, the House Oversight Committee, for example, asked the White House counsel back on the second week of January to provide detailed information about the discovery of classified documents inside of Biden's private office, including the documents themselves, a list of all the people authorized to enter that office, and communications between the White House and the National Archives and the Records Administration and all that stuff about that situation. And crickets, for the most part, again, crickets. White House counsel Stuart Delery responded with a letter only saying the office would review the legitimate oversight interests, potentially offer some details sometime in the future. And the future ain't happened yet because nothing's come. The National Archives said in a response to the request for information from the Oversight Committee, again, House Oversight Committee, about its handling of the Biden and Trump classified document cases, that it could not respond to most congressional document requests about the situation unless it got a sign-off from the Justice Department, which they don't need, but that's what they're saying. You know, effectively offering the more powerful agency veto power over its cooperation. So here comes the House Foreign Relations Committee, blasting the State Department for failing to provide, you know, all but the most basic information about the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. Probably the single biggest bugaboo yet of the Biden administration in 2021. The House Foreign Affairs Chairman, Michael McCaul, out of Texas, wrote in a letter to the State Department earlier this month that many weeks of requesting records have been inexplicably fruitless for his committee. And it just goes on and on and on and on. The president is not cooperating with anything. And, you know, we could ask this question, too. Does the president even know he's not cooperating? Or is that the wall of individuals he's put all the way around him to insulate him from so much of this stuff? So the Oversight Committee announced yesterday that investigators had discovered that members of the Biden family had received, here we go, more than $1 million that they knew of in payments linked to a Chinese company. A Chinese company is linked to the Chinese party. And the panel's discovery came after the Treasury Department relented following months of stonewalling and allowing the committee to review financial documents known as, you know, very suspicious activity reports. That's the term that was used in the information that I got. So the decision only can come when the committee pushed ahead to hold a hearing or at least a closed-door interview with the top Treasury official over the financial dealings in question. And there's a whole string of Bidens that got a whole ton of money from the Chinese company. So after 2 months of dragging their feet, the Treasury Department is finally providing access to the suspicious activity in these, you know, these activity reports about the Biden family and their associates and their business transactions. Now, the Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer, in a statement this week, it should have never taken us threatening to hold hearings and conduct a transcribed interview with an official under the penalty of perjury for the Treasury to finally come forth with our request. For over 20 years, Congress has had access to these reports, but the Biden administration changed the rules out of the blue to restrict our ability to conduct oversight, according to Comer. Did you know that? The Biden administration changed the rules so they don't have to cooperate. So the Oversight Committee was granted only an in-camera review, meaning lawmakers and staff were not permitted to take copies of the documents with them, you know, out of a designated room in which they were allowed to read them with supervision. God. Yeah, transparency, baby. The National Archives allowed its general counsel to sit in a transcribed interview for the Oversight Committee in January, but the lawyer, Gary Stern, was not permitted to answer any questions at the heart of the committee's inquiry. Have you ever heard anything like this? I mean, come on, honestly, in any Republican or Democratic presidential administration? No, you haven't, because it's never happened before. I mean, this is just mind-blowing stuff, these denials. You know, overall, the Biden administration has largely attempted to avoid any investigation at any various stage, especially when it relates to the progress to the origins of COVID-19 and the alleged, you know, misconduct of the FBI and the National Institutes of Health, communications between the federal government and major, you know, social media corporations and other investigations. I mean, there's just a stack of stuff here that Congress wants to know. I want to know. You want to know. Jim Jordan's been a bulldog. He subpoenaed the leaders of the Justice Department, FBI, Department of Education last month, all of them, after months of silence from the administration officials over law enforcement's treatments of parents who protested at school board meetings starting in 2021. Why is this even a subject? But Jordan and the Republicans began requesting information about the treatment of these parents when they were in the House minority. And the committee finally gained subpoena power when the Republicans won the House and that majority in 2022. So the frustration with Biden's administration's refusal to cooperate has even, you know, as I mentioned earlier, bubbled over to the Democratic Senate. Bubbled over. Both Republicans and Democratic members of the Senate Intelligence Committee have complained a blue streak that the intelligence community, you know, continues to block access to the content of classified documents at both, you know, former President Donald Trump's and Joe Biden's, you know, private homes, despite repeated efforts from the, you know, the committee to work out some kind of a deal with the Biden administration, especially on the Biden material. Now, adding to problems for the senior Biden, meaning Joe, here comes his son Hunter, who yesterday admitted the Biden family's multi-million-dollar businesses with Chinese entities and the Chinese Communist Party. He justified it all, but he admitted it after years of denying it. So a spokesperson said, Hunter Biden, a private citizen with every right to pursue his own business endeavors, joined several business partners in seeking a joint venture with a privately owned legitimate energy company in China. As a part of a joint venture, Hunter received his portion of good faith seed funds, in which he shared with his uncle, James Biden, and Hallie Biden, with whom he was involved with at the time, sharing expenses. See, and all this stuff was just so radically denied for so long. So the spokesman said, Representative Comer takes something old and tries to make something new again by wrapping it in a wild, baseless right-wing conspiracy. No, it wasn't a conspiracy. Hunter Biden admitted all this stuff. What conspiracy?
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Go free.
KMJNow.com.
I'm trying. I'm trying. Hey, listen, how could I forget? I've got one pair of tickets left to give away today to see Jeff Dunham on the 23rd. Yeah. Coming up next week, he'll be at the Save Mart Center. And we'll give him away in a little while here. Great ventriloquist, super comedian. But speaking of shows, for the first time ever, you got a couple of rock icons getting together. Kind of an unusual pair. Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks are touring together. Yeah. That's yeah. And guess what? We want to send you to see the show in person. So all next week, tune in at 7:30. Write this down. 12:30. That's when I'm on. 5:30. We're going to give you a keyword, national keyword, to text to qualify to win. Now, the grand prize winner and a guest is going to fly to Kansas City for two nights. You'll get primo tickets to see the show. Plus, this is the best part. You're going to get famous Kansas City barbecue dinner. God, take me with you. Just for the dinner. You take somebody else to the show. But anyway, it's next week. Have fun. Jeff Dunham tickets today before 2 o'clock. All right? All right. Stop calling. I'm not giving away anything right now. Pay attention. Anyway, so Hunter Biden with this admission that, yeah, we've had, you know, a lot of businesses with China and the energy sector. James Comer it also found evidence that shows the Biden family business received about, now this wasn't a lot. It's $179,836.86. Well, that is a lot of money, but this is while Joe Biden was in the White House. Although the sum appears, I'll make my point here, somewhat insignificant when compared to the $31 million received by the business during Joe Biden's time as vice president. Now, the new amount builds upon the previous reporting in 2022 by a couple of people who work at Breitbart who dug all this up. Hunter's statement is notable. I'm going to tell you why. Because, I mean, even though we've known it, it represents the first time he has ever acknowledged that his family, the Biden family, has made millions from Chinese business deals. It's the first time. And the individual at Breitbart, speaking with the news media, mocked Biden, who discovered all this, mocked Hunter for changing his story after years of denial of what has been accurate reporting of the situation. The story changed throughout. When the story was first broken in, forgive me on the years here, 2018, 19, they denied that they were doing any business at all with China. Then they said, well, they were doing business with China, but as it was pointed out, we didn't make any money. Then it shifted to Joe Biden, who didn't even know about these deals. but was somehow the beneficiary of $31 million, pieces of it. Oh, God. And then directly $176,000 while he was president. That's very bad. So everything that Hunter said has been disproven. And now he admits it. And the fact is, though, they keep shifting their stories. And I think, you know, that should be a major concern for the people in the White House, because it's clear that people spinning the news in the White House don't know the full story, and they're mucking it up even further for the first family. You know, yesterday afternoon, the White House tried to deflect Comer's revelations by claiming the family was a victim, despite millions of dollars they made without showing any production of a product or a service in return for the money. They haven't shown anything. Quote, after a disgusting attack lamenting the president's deceased son, Beau, who was never prosecuted while he was alive, Congressman Comer has now decided to go after Beau's widow. That's a White House spokesman, Ian Sams. That's Hallie Biden, who, after Beau died, she flipped over to Hunter. So the statements came after Comer on Wednesday revealed whistleblowers have informed him that Joe Biden has directly benefited financially from the Biden family business, raising questions about if Joe Biden is written into the family business deals, you know, and if it's been done so, was it off the books? Well, it certainly was. One of the things that all of the whistleblowers have told everybody is that, you know, you got these LLCs paying for things for Joe Biden. Paying for things for Joe Biden. That's a quote. Paying for things for Joe Biden. And then the money, you know, up to $31 billion for the entire million dollars for the entire family that Joe Biden doesn't even know about. So, yes, Comer says, that's very curious, you know. Man, I mean, this family, you know, jokingly, I started calling them the, well, I wasn't really joking, but, you know, the tongue in cheek, maybe a little bit at the time. Back in December, I started referring to them as the Biden crime family. And now we found out that that's quite true. And what will become of it? That's just it. You know, these people, the Bidens and the likes and others that have been the Clintons and to some degree that some of the Kennedys, not all, and others, you know, it seems like the only one that got caught up for his misdeeds was Nixon. And then he resigned. And Nixon's vice president, Spiro Agnew, the first one, he resigned. Boy, what the wild days were those. If a vice president resigns and the president resigns. Geesh. But, I mean, beyond that, everybody else gets to, you know, basically swim along for everything that they've done or been accused of doing. But in this particular case, the accusations with the Biden family have rung very true. $31 million. And a lot of that accrued while Joe Biden was vice president of the United States. Now, just a little bit while he was president. So that's like not supposed to mean anything. Everybody was always worried about Donald Trump. Oh, all the stuff he's making on the side. What did he do? He didn't take a salary when he was president. Remember that? He did it for free for 4 years. And all of the profits from the overseas hotels went where? Into a trust. And much of that went back into the Treasury as a gift to the citizens of the United States of America. Just to keep it clean. That was announced at the end of January, the first month he was in office. Oh, but still, he had so much on the side. He had so much to begin with. So whether it was in the side, behind him, in front, next, I mean, I'm not defending him. It's just a fact. But Biden, on the other hand, has come about this very surreptitiously. And the fact that there's been, you know, denial for years from young Hunter and finally an admission that, yeah, oh, yeah, we got all kinds of business in China. But then he basically defends it as best he could. And it wasn't real good, the defense. I don't know what else to say. That basically kind of hangs it right there, doesn't it? You know? So with that, we'll hit a break. Wow, already? 490-5858. Comments? 800-776-5858. Now, if he were to leave office, that means Kamala Harris would take over. But she doesn't even understand what she's doing now. We'll have some documentation of that when we come back on KMJ.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Right now,
the Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
So, well, okay, where do we begin here? Historically, vice presidents aren't all that important, hear me, as it relates to the day-to-day duties of running the country, okay? But when you got somebody in the White House that's an octogenarian who may or may not be in the early stages of dementia, certainly there's some memory erosion, communication problems, etc., the position tends to have a bit larger role in the administration. It amazes me, fully knowing this when the president was elected, why the handlers putting all this stuff together didn't consider the condition of the president when looking at Kamala Harris, who had basically was probably the least prepared individual in the way of a public servant in this country that we've ever seen. So it's a bit concerning. When the current vice president, Kamala Harris, struggled big time, you're going to hear it, to the late night host Stephen Colbert to explain exactly what her duties are in this administration.
One of the themes of the show is that her character, Selina Meyer, is frustrated by the sometimes vague duties of the role. Like it's a high constitutional office, but it's not prescribed so much about what you're supposed to be doing. Does that ring true? Like what is the actual role on a daily basis as you have found it?
Well, I have the great privilege of serving with Joe Biden, who was president of the United States. Exactly right. And was vice president, right?
Does that affect it? Does he understand what it's like to be a vice president?
He does. He does. And he really is a true partner, and he understands the job. And remember, we came in during the height of the pandemic.
Yes.
And so much of the work was about, okay, we've got to cover a lot of bases, and let's figure out how between us we can do it. But he is an extraordinary leader, and I wish that people could see what I see, because there's only one person who sits behind that resolute desk. And the decisions that that person has to make are the decisions that nobody else in the country can make. And he's an extraordinary leader. Really is. Really is.
That's an excellent answer. And the question was, what is the job of the vice president? And your answer is part of the job, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, my job is to for example, I'll tell you, I was recently in Munich at the Munich Security Conference.
Yes.
And the job there was to stand up. And as you know, most of my career I spent as a prosecutor. And I declared that we, the United States of America, believe that Russia has committed crimes against humanity.
Yes. What is the significance?
That's a tough one, huh? Standing up and saying Russia has committed crimes against humanity. Wow. Isn't that scary? I mean, it's scary. Perhaps, you know, I got to say this. Kamala Harris's, you know, real duty, you know, is acting as President Joe Biden's insurance. An insurance policy against impeachment or being knocked off the ballot in 2024. I mean, he cannot be removed because she'll be heading up the ticket. I don't even think her party can go for that. Even a Democrat, you know, is wise enough to know that that would be a total disaster. I'm sorry, but it's the truth, which is really saying something compared to the direction that the country is currently headed. You know, I mentioned earlier in the monologue that I don't ever think I've been in worse times than what we have right now. I can't recall anything like this ever. And to have a president who is questionable at best in terms of health, communication, and have somebody like her backing up that office, it's terrifying. Now, if there's anything comforting about that, if something were to happen to him, hopefully she would have the insight to pick a vice president who is genuinely, you know, a leader, somebody who is hands-on. I don't know that her ego would allow that, but, you know, again, I always refer to Dick Cheney as being the first active vice president probably ever in the history of the office. He had a job, and the job wasn't just being the spare and backing up G.W. Bush. He was instrumental in foreign relations and things like that, even domestic things with corporations. He knew exactly what he was doing. And that was a great thing for G.W. Bush to defer so much to him. As he said, when he assigned Dick Cheney the job of finding a vice presidential candidate, he asked Dick Cheney to find a partner, not a spare, not a backup, but a partner who could pick up the loose ends that he was not familiar with. And G.W. Bush was, you know, bold enough and brave enough to admit that. And whether he was a successful president or not, that's in your head. History will determine that. It's neither here nor there in this argument about him being at least honest and open about his own abilities. And then Dick Cheney wound up being the vice president himself. And, you know, a good one at that for the times. Because he did exactly what G.W. Bush wanted. He backed up those areas where, you know, the younger Bush was weak. But here, we don't have that. And if she were to become president, she'd go out and have to find somebody. Hopefully, she would have the brain power to do this that could be strong, could be a partner, could be hands-on, and could be tackling a lot of these things. She's thoroughly incapable of tackling. But I don't know if that's a salvation or not. It's probably not. I mean, she might pick one of her girlfriends or something. I mean, I have no idea where her head goes and something like that. I'm sure she's thought about it once or twice. Hour number two of the Appleton program coming right up after we take a pause for the cause on News Talk 580 1059 KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though, so. I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.